All right, what I'm going to try to do tonight in the next 30 minutes or so is I'm going to try to walk you guys through some of the processes that take place here. But before I even get into process, I want to give you some of the heart behind the process, because all of the structures and processes, the way we handle money around here, the way we handle leadership around here, the way we handle staff, all that kind of stuff comes out of a heart that has been established here, a DNA, if you will, that allows us to think through why we do what we do and what we want to accomplish through what we do. And as we do that, we determine how we're going to do it. So tonight we're going to talk about all of that, kind of the why we do what we do, what we want to see occur in the as the future evolves, and then we're going to talk about how we accomplish those things as a church. And we're going to be looking at all of those areas. And then when we're done with everything, I'm going to kind of walk you through the whole deal. You guys kind of keep in mind if there's any questions that come up, because at the end of this evening, when I'm done, before we break and send you guys home, we will open up the time for Q&A so that you can throw out your questions for me, and I will do the best I can to answer those questions here. And then if there are more questions beyond the time we have, then I'll give you guys some avenues to be able to answer those questions as well. So here's what I encourage you to do. Before I jump in, underneath the chairs, there are these little pads of paper. We put them there so you can take notes. And what I want you to do right now is, if you're the kind of person that you come up with questions but then halfway through you forget them, I'd encourage you to grab that little piece of paper, and as questions come up, jot them down so at the end of this evening when I say any questions, you don't go, oh my gosh, I had like 20 and now I don't remember any of them, because I wouldn't want that to happen to you. You'd feel very bad about that. So we are going to talk Mosaic Church tonight, and how we got here in terms of how we got to the point that we think the things we do and do the things we do. I don't want to give you the story of Mosaic Church and the whole history. If you want that part of it, you're welcome to come and talk with me afterwards, and I'll kind of tell you how we first got here. Only to tell you, for those of you that don't know, about six years ago, is that how long it's been, give or take? We moved here, Brooke and I, and we moved here specifically to start a little church here in the Claremont area. We called it Ocean Church back then, branded ourselves as a cult completely. It was awesome. And I realized Ocean Church in the middle of Claremont didn't pan out so well. So prayed about a name change, and Mosaic came to us. Started the church a little over 5 years ago, and we are here today where you kind of see things playing out. So as we have worked through Mosaic Church, many of the things we prayed about and came up with 5 years ago as DNA issues are still DNA issues for us. They have shaped a little bit and molded a little bit to become a little more defined, but they are still the same issues that we bought into 5 years ago that we still buy into today. And I want to share some of those things with you tonight so you kind of gain an idea of the heart behind Mosaic. So I want to start with this slide over here, and everything's going to be on slides so you can kind of see it. This is the first slide talking about who we are and who we desire to be. These six words are words that we developed a couple of years ago as we thought about what we wanted this church to be marked by if somebody walked into those doors and walked out and you said, come up with a few things that just mark this church. These are the things we came up with. And this is on our website, but you can go look at it there, but this is what it is. We are a fellowship of believers who desire to be the following things. So we, Mosaic Church, those of us that say, this is it, we are the people that say we follow Christ and we are conforming our lives to become this. We want to be fervent, which I picked that word. It's the same word as passionate. It's the same word passionate, we'll leave it at that. The word passionate just means so many things on the planet we live in, and I love this word fervent. It just means a burning, that you just have a burning desire for Christ. So we want to be fervent. We want to be wise. There's a huge lack of wisdom on the planet today. Lots of knowledge, very little wisdom. And we want to be marked by wisdom, not just by knowledge. We want to be honest. We want to be a place that people go, listen, what you see is what you get. These people are honest, man. They're straight up. There's nothing hidden. It's just honest. We want to be genuine, we want to be loving, and we want to be giving. If you take those words, you may look up there and say, hold on a second, you're saying this is who we want to become. What about like prayerful? Or what about like studious of the Word of God? Or all those kinds of things. Those are incredible and important things. Here's the deal. If you're wise, you're going to be praying a whole lot, aren't you? If you are fervent, a lot of those things are going to happen naturally in your life. When we looked at a human being and we said, us human beings make up the church, we looked at these six words and said, if a human looked like that, they were fervent, wise, honest, genuine, loving, and giving, there is not a single thing in Scripture that God calls us to that I wouldn't be able to fit under one of these things, saying, if these things were true in your life, those things will be true in your life. So I say this to say that over the next 10 years, over the next 20 years, over the next 30 years, it doesn't matter. If you ask me, what is it you dream about? What is it that you want more than anything else? This is it right here. I want our church to look just like this, which means that I want you and I to look just like this. That's what we're working toward. That's why we wake up in the morning and what we want to see, that people follow Christ looking that way. This is how we do it. Check this out. What we do here, we want to honor God because that is ultimately what we were built for, to bring glory to God. That's why we exist, you and I, to bring glory to God. And this is how we want to do it. You will notice that these things at Mosaic Church, we ask ourselves these questions. Are we accurately proclaiming and applying God's word? So the accurate proclamation and application of God's word, that is number one on our list. We want to make sure we're doing that right. And we work very hard here to make sure we don't mess that one up. So we want to be accurate and we want to be able to apply it. Why apply isn't there? Because if you're going to be wise, that is the application of knowledge and we want you to be wise. So it's not just about knowing God's word, it's about applying it. We want to be a place that practices prayer. We believe in communication with God. We believe God communicates with us. And we want to make sure we are a church that is practicing prayer. This is an area that we are still developing at Mosaic Church. The burning is part of that. There's some other things going on. We're behind the curve on this one, but we are pushing hard to be able to get to a place where this church would be marked by the fact that we are a people of prayer. We want fervent, Christ-honoring worship. Sean and I have spent a great deal of time this last year talking about worship and talking about taking worship beyond just having songs. But I don't know if you know this, but Sean and his team, they sit together, they look at the songs that we're singing, and before they put a song up here, they make sure that that song lines up with the accurate proclamation of God's word so that you know the songs that you're singing line up with Scripture. These are the kinds of things we do here to make sure that our worship is not just warm and fuzzy, but that it is Christ-honoring and that it is fervent. And that's what these guys work so hard on. We want intentional biblical community. This is what we want to design for our church. We want you guys to know that we are not just interested in community, because communities is the new hot thing in a lot of churches and the new hot thing all over the planet. We all want to be in community. Well, we love community, but we only love community as far as it is biblical and intentional. And so biblical community has some things in it that regular community won't like one bit. But we want to be a place that is committed to intentional biblical community. Consistent discipleship. Now, some people would say, why did you put that as a separate thing? Discipleship is what the church does, and I agree 100%. But we wanted to make sure that of the six things that we consider critical, that we make sure that training you up to do what God's called you to do and to follow Christ is a critical part of everything we think about right here. So we put it on this list. We want you to be equipped to be able to live the life well and to be able to lead well as you lead Christ, others to Christ. And then the final one is extraordinary service. We want to be marked by the fact that we don't just serve, but that we kind of serve in that way that people go, what? No. Really? That's what I want. I want people to kind of go, that's crazy. You people are insane. And that's the kind of service I want to make sure that we're a part of, not just locally, but globally. And we're doing some extraordinary things. Now, how do we do this? This is kind of giving you the foundation again before we step into some of the more business stuff. Because this is why we do what we do. How do we do this? We do it through our community worship services. That's what we call our gatherings, okay? So our Sunday mornings, our Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights for all our student ministries and young adults, the children's ministry getting together. These are gatherings. These are our basically community worship services. We do it through life groups. And we've talked about that. This church, We have gatherings, we have life groups. In the life groups, we have training, so we want to make sure we do training. But then training goes beyond life groups, doesn't it? Because we're starting to talk about mentor programs, we're starting to talk about individual training. We're also training people up to go into ministry here at this church, and you'll hear more about that in just a little bit. So we're involved in training. And then our events, we do events around here to begin to develop some of those core values that we're talking about. And then our web media, and that's what we're talking about there is something, again, that we're in the middle of developing, but we want to be a place that online between our podcasts and our website, that we make an information available, we make application available. God's Word is being distributed across this planet through our website. So we're working very hard right now over the next year to make sure our website is a place where somebody that doesn't even belong to this church would want to be a part of, because they go, there's such a wealth of information on there. And we want to continue to do that. And then finally, through our local and global missions, which is that extraordinary service. So that's what we do. If you boil it down, go back one real quick, sorry. If you boil it down, we have gatherings, we have life groups, we have events, and we have missions. Those are the four things that we really do here. And training and web media fall into those things. And that's how we accomplish the six things we talked about before. The next slide here talks about Mosaic DNA. And this is just so you know, as we talk about somebody walking into the door here at Mosaic Church, whether it's for a Sunday service or whether it's for anything else, we want them to feel certain things that they can walk out and go, if you ask them, so tell me about Mosaic Church, I want them to say certain things that just mark kind of our being, who we are. And I always love to hear certain things, but you'll see here, we love community. That's so critical. We want people to walk out of here and say, it was like family. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear people walk out and say, it felt like home. Why do I want people to say that? Because family and home is a place where you are loved and cared for and touched in special ways, in that moment where people come around you and say, you're part of something. And I want people to walk in the doors and walk out and know that that sense is here. It's relaxed and casual. Those are intentional things. I don't just wear flip-flops every day because I like them, although I really do. But I also, there are intentional things we do to create a world here where you can relax and where you can be casual. Why? Because we don't want anything to distract you from what's most important, which are the other things that we do here. Coffee and hospitality. I mean, there's many times we've sat back and said, hospitality is a pain and nobody wants to help and it costs money and it's ridiculous. Let's kill it. But the reality is, walking into a place where you can grab a little bite to eat for your kids and you can grab a cup of coffee, it says something about who we are and how things play out here and how relaxed it is. And those are critical issues to us. We love to talk about God and what He's doing. I mean, I want people to know Mosaic Church, whether you're at the church or whether you meet somebody in the grocery store from Mosaic Church, whenever that silly sticker is in a parking lot, you know someone's talking about God or stuff that He's doing. And I'd love to know that that is always true of this place, that we are honest and authentic, that at the very end of the day, we're messy, we talk about the stuff going on in our lives, but that we are real, that we say, hey, welcome to humanity. This is the part of the deal that we're all part of, and God is at work in us. And we want to do that honestly. And then we want to make sure that our actions speak louder than our words. We've talked about this stuff. You've heard it, haven't you, on Sunday mornings. This stuff is not talked about by accident. It is part of who we want to be and who we are. And that's why we do the things that we do. So that kind of gives you a little bit about that. Now, we step into leadership because in my book, as I look at how this stuff plays out, I look at a list like that of all the things we want to accomplish, all the things we want to do, and you find on that list, it's not a bunch of stuff. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the next thing. If it was a list of things to do, it would be easy to accomplish. I'd be able to get a few people in here and accomplish it. But unfortunately, that list is so intangible, it's so relational, it's so heart to heart, it's so life to life, that what we have to be able to do here at Mosaic to accomplish any of that is to create a world where life on life is happening and where relational ministry is part of everything we do, which means that we have to build in the right kind of leadership, and we have to build in a leadership that sometimes expands beyond what you might see in some other places. This is how our basic leadership structure works, starting with the staff. Now, the staff don't run this place from a leadership perspective, they run this place from a management perspective. So I start with these guys because they're the most visible. Our staff are the following people. There's Renaud. Hi. I'm Renault, okay? And then the other staff we have is Stu. Stu, are you in here? Stand up for a second, Stu. I'm going to have them stand up for you. That's Stu right there. And Stu is the guy that what you know, you could call him whatever you want, but he basically runs operations around here. That means that when somebody's got to be mean to the other staff, it can be Stu and not me. I love that about Stu, okay? He makes sure that when we come up with stuff, it gets done around here and it gets done effectively. That's Stu, and he kind of helps with that. Then we have Rick. Rick, are you in here? Rick is in the back. Everybody turn around and say hi to Rick. Rick is on staff here, and it is his calling to make absolutely sure that there is not a day that goes by here that somebody isn't being trained or discipled or pushed into a deeper relationship with God. Rick's job is to make sure that discipleship is in the foreground of everything we do, and that's why he's around. And then he also develops all of the stuff that comes with that, from life groups to ministry teams to the mentor groups. All that stuff is going to be on Rick's plate as he continues to develop that. Then we have Sean. Sean, would you stand up for a second? Here's Sean Starbuck. He is our worship pastor, and he's the guy that makes sure that at this church, not just on Sundays, but in every capacity possible, that worship is constantly being driven to the foreground. You see what I'm doing here? Rick's job is to make sure that we're discipling, and Sean's job is to make sure that we're worshiping, and Stu's job is to make sure that they both do their jobs really well. And so you see what begins to happen here is you begin to find out those priorities we have. We've put staff in place that say these are the things that need to be done. Tony, where's Tony? Tony's right over there. He kind of takes our student ministries, in particular the area of high school ministry. He is responsible to make sure that our high school students are going to grow and develop into the men and women that we want them to be before they turn into adults, so that we don't have to mess with them too much after that. He needs to make sure that their vision and their calling is something that is extended past these walls and into the world out there. And then with Tony, we have Brittany. Where is Brittany? Brittany. Oh, there she is. Thank you. Brittany is the person that runs our middle school ministry. So what she does is she does exactly what Tony does, but she does it for all those middle schoolers. Because the goal here is we want to make each staff person's job easier. So if Brittany gets the middle schoolers and she does her job well, by the time they get to be Tony's little people, then Tony has an easy job and he can take them to the next level. And by the time they get to be young adults, we've got a bunch of young adults that are already wise and fervent and all those wonderful things we talked about. So Brittany runs our middle school ministry. She's responsible for everything middle school in this place. Carrie, where's Carrie? Carrie's right over there. Why aren't you in kids ministry? What are you doing? Just kidding. There she got a little marker thing ready to go to kids ministry. Carrie, where's the other Carrie? Carrie Ann, there she is. Carrie Ann back there. These two faces right here, think of them as one face, but kind of different, okay? If you morphed them together, it'd be a little weird, okay? Here's why I say that, okay? These two people are the team that makes sure that your children are not babysat at this church, but that they are grown and loved and cared for and built into so that they grow into people that love God and that all those things become true in them. And these two people work extremely hard to make sure that that happens. And they do everything from writing curriculum to finding good curriculum to implementing it to teaching kids. And then the cool thing about these two is they take it beyond just Sundays and into the rest of the week. You know, if you have children in this church, that if they're on MoCom or anywhere else, these two are involved in their lives. They push into the lives of the kids, and that's what I love about what the Carries do. So those are our children's ministry team members right there, and they run the children's ministry. Deb Moline, where is Deb? Deb's back over there. Deb's kind of one of our new staff people, so you might go, oh, that's the Deb you're all talking about all the time. Yes, if you need to sign up with Deb, now you know who she is. And Deb has come on board. It's interesting because Deb's job's morphed all over the place in like a week and a half. She came on board and I was like, job's changing. And she's like, what? So here's kind of what's happened. Deb's come on board in the area of counseling ministry because we wanted to develop something where we had lay counselors and all that kind of stuff. And that's still an arena that Deb's going to be playing into. But then as Deb came on board, Amanda left and I went, whoa, we have a huge hole. And Deb kind of went, well, we don't have much of a counseling ministry yet, so I could fill a lot of those holes. And so she started filling those holes, and now Deb's overwhelmed and overbusy, and I love it. So Deb is developing all sorts of arenas in this church to make sure that things flow constantly. That's why you see her name popping up everywhere. Now, see Deb, sign up with Deb, talk to Deb, go to Deb. And that's kind of, but Deb is ultimately growing in the area with, along with Rye, which we'll talk about in a second, in the area of the counseling ministry. So then we have John. John, are you here? John, there's John in the back. The fact that you walked into the building today and there wasn't trash everywhere and that the place wasn't a mess and that all the chairs are where they're supposed to be and that everything's set nicely and that the bathrooms are there and that there's toilet paper when you need it and all that stuff, all that is a small part of what John does. On top of all of that, John also manages the building projects. You will not believe how many things can go wrong with the building on a weekly basis. We know, and John is the one that needs to constantly take care of all of that, make sure that it's running. On top of that, John also is involved now in student ministries and doing some other things as he's getting his way involved in some other craziness. But John is the one that manages the facilities around here and constantly takes care of us on that level. John, thanks. Then we got Jeffy. Where's Jeffy? You know, I thought that Jeffy did everything at this church, but I've never seen Jeffy on the stage playing bass guitar. And then when I saw him tonight, I'm like, what? Now he truly does everything at the church. So, I mean, it would be easy to say Jeff is the head of our technical department, but that would be such an understatement. Everything works here because of Jeffy. I mean, there's duct tape, all sorts of places, but somehow he makes it work. Did you walk in today and hear music in the parking lot? Oh, that's because Jeffy was here yesterday climbing into this ceiling, running wires to all sorts of places. I just go to Jeff and say, hey, can you do this? And he goes, uh-huh. Every media piece you see, every card we print, everything we do, our website, all of that stuff, Jeffy's involved in all of that. So he runs all of the media and tech in this place, and it's incredible. And then Rye, are you here? Rye's right over here, also one of our new staff members. And it's kind of, you know, Rye and I are in that interesting place. He's just come on board. He is what I would call one of our volunteer staff members. He's one of our staff members, but we can't pay him a whole lot at this point, so we don't really. And so he just kind of works for us, and I love it. Stu over there, Stu is another one of our volunteer staff members. We can't really afford him, so we pay him nothing. And it works out really, really well. Stu has another job on the side, and it's flexible. So this is the kind of stuff that we get to be part of as we get to be part of these things. So Rye came on board because he started attending our church, and he happens to have just hundreds of years of experience in the counseling department. There you go. He's older than you might think. And Rye came on board and said, you know, I love the DNA of this church, and I'd love to be part of this team. And we were just at the point where we needed to expand our counseling ministry, and Rye said, I'd love to jump in. So he has an office in the back here, and now we've got someone on board with years of experience in the area of counseling, so we don't have to refer people that are struggling with stuff in their lives out of the church, but we can refer them directly into the church. And he has an incredible biblical view of counseling, and we're so excited to have him on board as we develop that area. So then we have Gavin over there. Where's Gavin? Granddad, are you here? Gavin, he's right in front here. This is Gavin, and he kind of runs all of our bookkeeping. He makes sure that what we say we spend, we actually do, and he makes sure that when we spend something we said we weren't going to spend, he lets Stu know immediately so that Stu can let me know so that I can get in trouble and he can get in trouble and we can all get in trouble. I love it. So that's simplifying, but Gavin pays all the bills. Gavin takes care of anything that's paperwork. Gavin takes care of the medical stuff. Gavin takes care of making sure that the tithe is deposited and counted and accounted for. I mean, Gavin takes care of all that stuff. So he runs all that every week, and it's awesome. And then we have three, what we've dotted as a second group of staff people, Brody, Amanda, and Bob. Brody and Amanda are unique because they were both here on staff, and then they decided to go up to Master's Mission. So they're no longer staff people. So we just put them under here so you could see. But they are now our peeps in training. Just call them that, okay? We sent them off to Master's Mission for a year to go and get trained up there, and then we'll see what God does with them, whether he sends them off to who knows where or brings them here. But we are training them up to be part of our church planting missions program that we will talk to you a little bit later about. And then finally, Bob Cornuke. You guys remember Bob Cornuke? Okay, you ready for this? This is, I mean, you probably kind of heard a little bit, but actually Bob is officially one of our staff members, believe it or not. We've partnered with Bob Cornhook, the guy that travels the world and finds places like the Ark of the Covenant and all those kinds of cool stuff. And we almost convinced him to actually move here, but he's still kind of toying with Texas and other things. And I'm still working on him, don't get me wrong. But what we've done is we've partnered together with Bob. We basically support him in his ministry, and in so doing, he stepped into our missions program because he loves our missions philosophy, and he is going to help us develop the missions program here so that our church planting and all that kind of stuff develops in a huge way. Every time he is on any news program, any TV program, anything like that, he now introduces Mosaic Church in Oakland, Florida, and people are like, where on earth is that? And Bob tells them. And then he says, here's their missions program, and you can be part of that missions program by giving toward that. And so Bob is playing a huge role in developing that for us. And then on top of that, we get to tell Bob every now and then, Bob, we need you here to come preach and share your amazing stories, and he'll come. And then when he goes on a trip, we get first dibs. I love it. So he goes, Mosaic Church, how many people do you want? And we say, we want 20. And he goes, oh, that's all I can take. And we go, oh, well. And that's awesome. I love that about Bob. So that's Bob Cornhook. Okay. Now, the staff run this place on a day-to-day level. They are the management. So they make decisions in each of their departments. We give them the freedom to do that. I run the staff along with Stu. So the two of us kind of manage the staff, and the staff manage their departments. That's how we function. We don't have elders, deacons, or anybody else over the staff because it gets all complex and complicated. We manage things so we can move at the fastest humanly possible pace around here. But the staff, including me, have a certain set of rules, if you will, to work within, a certain set of principles laid out, and that's laid out by our spiritual leadership in this church. And our spiritual leadership fall into primarily the category of elders. The elders here, this is what we would call an elder-governed church. Okay, so we are not governed by the staff. We are not governed by the congregation. We are governed by a group of men that we have carefully, biblically selected to become people that will prayerfully lead us in the decision-making process. The elders over here, you can see those three words right there, they are primarily responsible for these three things. They are responsible for doctrine. That means that the elders in our church are responsible to make sure that the doctrine of this church is sound, biblical, and solid. That means I'm not the only one responsible for that. And when I get to preach up here, if I'm not staying biblical and sound, guess what I'm going to hear the next day? In fact, probably right after the first service here. I'm going to have an elder come to me and say, you ought to check up on that, bro, because that ain't sound and that ain't biblical. Now, they might say it in language that's other than what I just said because they're generally older, wiser men than me. But they are going to make sure that everything we do around here, from our printed material to the things I preach to everything, that it is biblically accurate and that the application is accurate. Why? Because that's a critical part of what we want to do. They determine direction. That means this. I go to the elders, I tell them which direction we want to go, and they do it. That's how that works. I'm just kidding. What we get to do as a board is I get ideas in my head, and I get ideas of the vision of this church and where we want to go. And then I go and sit with the elders. We meet once a month, and I talk about some of those things. We're thinking about this. We're doing this. We want to see that happen. And the elders have the opportunity to say, that sounds awesome. Let's jump on board. Or, hey, have we thought about these things? And then we stop, the elders go and pray about it, and they come back at the next elder meeting and determine whether that direction is a direction that is something that God wants for us. That allows me the freedom to take off my shoulders the sole responsibility of making sure we're going in the right track. The elders are part of determining direction for this church and vision for this church. And then discipline. The elders are ultimately the group of people that when we get to that process biblically for church discipline, which in a church like this, I mean, it is a very rare occurrence and probably will continue to be a very rare occurrence. But the Bible lays out some very particular ways of handling situations in a church that get ugly. When there's disunity erupting in a church, where there's things happening in a church that are not biblical, somebody's got to step in and deal with that. And generally speaking, if I were the only person doing that, that would lead to some seriously difficult situations for me. So what happens is there's specific biblical steps you take, and I'm part of those steps, but when it comes down to it, the elders are the ultimate responsibility of taking that all the way and helping us take somebody who's struggling in a particular area in their lives and say, hey, we got to turn this back around so we can get back on track and follow Christ the way we ought. And so when it comes down to those few moments in a church's life where discipline is needed, the elders are part of that. If you don't have that in a church, that's how churches split into three pieces and disintegrate into crazy places. And if you haven't been part of one of those, it's not hard. There's a gazillion of them out there. Church discipline helps us stay healthy and strong as a church, and that's what the elders do. So deacons are the kind of the next step in this process of leadership. What the elders do is doctrine, direction, and discipline. They lead the spiritual direction of the church, and they put down around the parameters. The deacons handle finances, facilities, and community service. So the deacons are a group of men that come together and say, hey, listen, we are here to serve the church and to lead the church through serving. The elders serve and lead the church through leading. Do you see the difference there? Biblically, the qualification for the two are the same, but there's a different role. The deacons originally emerged in the Bible when there was a bunch of widows that needed somebody to take care of them, and the apostles said, we need to dedicate ourselves to doctrine, direction, and discipline in kind of that little mix. We need some guys that are going to be responsible for taking care of this, and so deacons kind of emerged out of the church. And so we now have deacons coming on board that can handle some of that. So to give you an example so that this becomes clear in your head, let's take finances, for instance. We here establish a budget every year, which I will go over with you in just a few minutes. Once we establish that budget, each staff person comes to me and says, I would like to spend $12,000 next year on student ministries. And I go, good, put that in, that's great. And each staff person has that. Then we take that budget and we take it to the deacons. The deacons will sort through that budget, make sure, because, you know, if our income is $600,000 and our budget's $4 million, then they're going to go, well, you can't spend the $12,000 now, can you? And vice versa. So they work through all of that until it all fits. And then, once that budget is complete, they will bring it to the elder board, and the elder board will simply go, that looks awesome. Ba-ding, done. And then the budget goes back to the staff, and the staff get that, and they say, this is the parameters in which you can play. You see what I'm getting at? So, deacons serve, elders make the decisions, goes back to the management team, which is our staff, and that runs the church. So that's kind of how the leadership plays out. And then, of course, we have ministry volunteers, and we have more of those around here than almost anything else in this church. And those are the people that ultimately allow us to take everything we do to a whole nother level. Look around the church for a second. We started this Sunday with an amazing journey through the prophets and the kings. Do you see all these incredible posters around here? Do you see all these incredible pillars that are up on the wall that's made of real rock? And when it fell down, it almost killed somebody. It was awesome. That is now permanently into our wall. There you go. See this cave over here? Pretty awesome, isn't it? See all these, all this stuff. Guess who did all that? It was the ministry volunteers. That's who did that. Oh, just go back one real quick. There you go. It was the ministry volunteers. Those ministry volunteers are what sign our kids in, run most of our children's ministry on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis, take care of life group leading, a million things around here that our ministry volunteers do. If you guys stop doing that, guess what? Doesn't matter how many staff we have, doesn't matter what our elders are up to or our deacons are up to, things stop around here. And so it's critical that we continue to grow that arena. Okay, now we're going to step out of this, and we're going to step into the Congregational Bill of Rights. We developed this as a staff, and I wanted you to kind of read this and see this, because it's kind of one of those things where if we develop it as a staff, it's all fun and good because we all know it, but if you don't know it, then you don't know what you can expect from us. Now, let me just say, as you read this and start going, they don't do that, and they don't do that, and they definitely don't do that, before you get into all of that, keep in mind, this is a guideline we've put together for ourselves as a standard that we want to attain around here at Mosaic Church. This is what you ought to be able to expect from us as a staff, as a church. This is the Bill of Rights. And this is simply, I mean, you can see it there. I'm going to read it to you just so that you can, let me see what my time is good. I've got plenty of time. Look, listen to this. The staff will respond to the needs of the congregation, okay? Now, That does not necessarily mean that every little need you have, you can instantly run to us and we will immediately respond to it. What it means is that it is our responsibility as we discover your needs to respond to those needs in an appropriate amount of time, okay? So we are here to help meet your needs, whatever those needs may be. You can expect that. The staff will return calls and emails. That's good. We don't always do that very well. But we are working toward being able to say, around here you can do that. We just put a new phone system in so that you don't call the church and get the ring, 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 ring. Okay? So now that each staff person has a voicemail box and all that stuff, we do all those things because we think you should be able to expect the fact that if you call, you'll get a return call or email in an appropriate amount of time. The staff is accessible. If you ultimately want to get a hold of a staff person or hang out with a staff person, that again, in an appropriate amount of time, that they are accessible to you. If they're not, then we are not fulfilling what we ought to be fulfilling for you guys. That you are respected. If you're a volunteer around here and you are not respected and cared for as a volunteer, we are not doing our job. So know that. You ought to be respected. Events are well organized. If we say we're going to do something, you ought to be able to show up and count on the fact that that's going to be there. And when you show up, you ought to be able to count on the fact that it's going to be done well. Boy, if you were part of Mosaic Church the first 2 years, you are laughing at that right now. You have no idea how many events we organized. People showed up and go, I think I'm the only one here. They didn't tell me they're canceling. And we just, you know, that's church planting. Gotta love it. That's changed now. Children and teens are protected. If you're here and you're a parent of anything up to a late teenager, you ought to know that at this church we do everything in our power to make sure that your children are safe and protected. That means things like background checks on every single one of our volunteers. That means things like making sure that the volunteers know the appropriate ways of dealing with children and kids in every situation. You need to know that your children and your teens are protected here. Worship services is in keeping with Mosaic DNA. That simply means this. If you come on any given Sunday of any given month of the year, you ought to be able to bring a friend and say, I basically know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get something really good, and it's going to be a message that's going to be accurate, and the application is going to be appropriate, and the music is going to be at a certain level that is authentic worship that can lead me to worship. And if you suddenly come here on a Sunday, and every Sunday it's a hit and miss, and some Sundays half the staff don't show up, and I'm not here to preach, and nobody's really talking, and the music is horrible, and then that's not what you should be able to expect. Respect people's privacy. Well, I'm not very good at that, so just want to tell you that up front. I usually recruit you guys for everything I can, and I tell you, you have to do it. But outside of me, the rest of the staff ought to respect your privacy some. So that just means we need to be aware of the fact that calling you at midnight or getting into your life without an invitation from you is something we have to be careful of. We want to respect your privacy. And then Mosaic will spend money wisely. Obviously, that is an opinionated version, but we want to make sure we stand before God and are able to say that the money we spend here, we spend carefully and wisely, and that the staff maintains a relationship with Christ. You ought to know that every staff person here is held accountable to the fact that if their relationship with God is not developing, that they ought not to be on staff here, which means that we develop certain things into the week that allow them to do those kinds of things. Our staff have a day off during the week because on Sundays, while we are all having an afternoon and evening relaxing, they are busy getting crazy around here. Why do I do that? Because I feel sorry for them and I don't want them to work hard? No, because if they don't have time to develop their relationship with God and their family, that's going to become a real problem in the future. So you ought to be able to expect that. Okay, so that is the Congregational Bill of Rights, and those are the things you ought to be able to expect now. We're going to get into missions, and this is really where things get very exciting because we're stepping now from the world of what is and what we want to be into the world of what's about to happen. I want you guys to know something about Mosaic Church. When we started this church, I was very frustrated way back when with the idea that so many churches I had been a part of were so internally focused that church planting had become something that was too expensive, too difficult, and your best people always left, so you didn't want to do that. And so when we came to Mosaic Church, we planted this church from scratch. I mean, I literally knocked on doors in my neighborhood, got to know people and met them at the pool and invited them to a little worship service at a little clubhouse. And there were about 10 of us there that first time, and they were kind of like looking at me weird, and I was looking at them weird, and you know, just you kind of start with all of that. Well, the reason we did that is because we believe in the fact that the church is the hope of the world as Christ works through us. And so we believe that God established that church, and we need to create more of them because there's not enough of them on this planet already. There's a lot of them but in America, but you know, they're struggling too, so we need lots of new ones too. So our missions program, 5 years into this church now, we are a five-year-old church. We are just getting on our feet, and guess what we said? If we don't start doing something about this now, in 5 years from now, we're going to be one of those churches that keeps saying we're going to plant churches but never actually do it because it's always inconvenient. Planting churches is not easy. So this is what we want to do with our missions program as we enter into this next year. You've heard we go on plenty of missions trips around here, but up to now, our missions has been what I would call not sporadic. What's the word I'm looking for? When you just spend, you run into a store and just spend something and then leave. What? Spontaneous is probably a decent word. I'll go with that for now. Okay. Our missions has been spontaneous for now, you know? Need pops up, we go, okay, let's go there. Oh, they need something, great, let's do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that in the long term, that leads nowhere. It just leads to us running around and trying to meet little needs. But we wanted to become intentional with our missions program. So take a look at what we did. We want a program that complements our diverse and creative ministry here. We want this program to reflect who we are as we go out into the world and serve in different ways and do different things, okay? The Bible maintains it is of significant importance that we are part of missions. In other words, what does that mean? We don't have an option at Mosaic Church to say we don't want to be part of missions because we can't afford it or we can't do it yet or it's too difficult. That is our call, to get out there and do something about the mess that's in the world, but to do it in a manner that is biblical and worthy of the gospel. It is resource intense. I mean, listen, guys, you want to get into missions work? You want to get out there and plant churches? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you big time, and it's going to cost us as a church big time. We desire to conduct this ministry with doctrinal, spiritual, financial, and practical wisdom. Big words, aren't they? But this is important, and we are spending hours and hours developing this in a manner that we would be able to say before God, this is doctrinally sound, it's spiritual, it's and financial and practical wisdom is being found. The basis is in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and you know that verse well. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know that here, the word baptizing here, the concept there outside of just water baptism is to integrate them in to the local body. So if we pop into a place, woo, and we do a quick week of ministry there, woo, and we baptize them in a river, yay, and then we leave, we have not fulfilled the Great Commission. We have left them wet and without much of Christ at all, okay? But if we go in there and we establish long-term ministry and we grow and develop a church and we integrate them into that local church, and that local church builds them and equips them and then sends them out into ministry to develop other local churches in their communities, then we are fulfilling the Great Commission. And that's what we're called to do. So take a look at this. This is kind of how we're going to concentrate our missions. Number one, most important, and this goes in list of importance, church planting. That's what we're going to do. We're going to plant churches. As a matter of fact, not only are we going to plant churches, but we are currently involved in the workings of preparing to plant probably our first four churches over the next 2 years. So you start looking at that and going, wait, hold. Mosaic Church is barely a church. We're not even really a church yet. We're kind of still a church plant. Yes, that's right. We kind of are, but we're a church now. So since we're a church, let's plant some more churches. We're going to do four church plants that we're currently looking at, maybe more, but that's kind of the goal right now. One of them is going to be local on the other side of Orlando, and the other three are going to be international, and they're in some crazy places. And we'll tell you more about that as we develop. But listen, in order to do that, guess what we've been doing? We have already sent Brody and Amanda off to Master's Mission. I am meeting with several people in this church, training them up in the areas of pastoral ministries because we love the idea of mentoring people into ministry. Sean has been working hard on training up worship leaders. You noticed this morning, if you were here, who was leading worship up here? Joel was. Where was Sean? He was on the drums. Why would Sean do something like that? Well, because we are interested in training people up in arenas that they're going to be able to excel in and eventually go into ministry. We are also developing a church planting school here at Mosaic Church. Do you know when the church planting school begins? Take a deep breath now, okay? We're going to have a meeting in the next few weeks with the people we've selected for church planting. We're going to start their theological and doctrinal training here, right here in October, November, working them through December. And then in January, we're going to launch all of the practical training. And this next year, 2009, we're going to go a whole year of training in teaching people how to plant churches. We have a curriculum this thick that we are weeding through right now to develop into a Mosaic curriculum for a church planting school. When we're done here, we're going to be able to take people through this place in a year and send them out to do effective church planting anywhere in the world. And that's already happening. So we're already at it. I've already selected two full church planting teams that we are in the process of training right now as we speak. And that is what we are committed to doing. I am already sitting back going, God, just so you know, we're going to need a lot of money and a lot of people to help us with this. And God's already gone, do you think I don't know that? So I don't know what he's going to do, but I know it's going to be exciting. Because I love to stretch us to a point where we're about to die. Okay, watch this. The next thing we are critically involved in and want to be is teaching and equipping pastors, staff, and missionary families. Now, this is not simply equipping what I just talked about right now. Because that's obviously, you can tell, is a big part. But we also want to be involved in ministries and in our own missions in equipping pastors locally in the areas that they exist. I work with a guy who runs an organization that does pastoral training all over India, North Africa, and the former Soviet Union on training local guys who don't have the ability to go to Bible colleges and get training so that they can run their local church as well. When we went to South Africa, the time that I spent there was in pastoral training. This is what we want to get involved in because we believe in the fact that if we can establish a training institution of some kind, whether it's mentoring or whether it's a church on the ground, to train local guys up in their local churches, then we can send them out in their local communities and we don't have to train people to speak languages and get culturally because we've already got on the ground. At the same time, we've got to train up people here to be the kinds of families that will go and start these kinds of things so we can train people on the ground. Conducting service trips for members of the congregation to help the needy. Listen, we believe in the fact that the orphanages that we've gotten involved in and the places that we found ourselves involved in, whether it's in Brazil, South Africa, Jamaica, all these places, are important works that we need to continue to be involved in. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Our goal when we get involved in a place from a service perspective will be to plant a church if it is needed in that arena so that that local church can begin to do the work and we can send teams to a local church plant that we've started to help that local church do the work. You with me? Because we do not want to be a church that pops in and out of random places all over the world for a week at a time. That kind of ministry can be very ineffective. Most of the time it is. We want to be the kind of church that shows up year after year after year in the same places, taking care of the same people so that we build the kind of relationship we need to be able to plant churches there and to make a real difference in the long term. But we are going to be part of service trips so that we can go and help, and you will get to be part of all of those, okay? And that's going to be fantastic and amazing. Providing support to missionary families and programs involved in biblical missions. We have selected certain groups of people that are involved in this kind of stuff already, and we as a church not only financially support them, but we will support them with all sorts of other needs, including emotional and physical needs, and going and visiting with them and encouraging them and getting them involved here. We will have, as we plant churches, we will have more and more families and groups that we send, and you guys will know who those people are, and we'll be supporting them because we don't want them to go through what we went through when we came and planted this church, which is to sit around and go, I sure hope we make it, because you're alone. But when you've got a church like Mosaic behind you, man, can you imagine what you could do? That'd be exciting. And I want to have that kind of excitement for our team. So that is how the missions is going to play out at this church. Now, this is a little hard to read right here, but don't worry because this won't be the only place you'll see this. We will have this available for you guys to be able to take home and look at and all that kind of stuff if you want to look through this. This is currently, today, as we sit here, a pretty strong picture of exactly how we've laid out our budget and how we spend money. Now, I want to say something, okay? You're going to see budget numbers in here. I want to tell you that this budget, because we were a church plant for so long and we've had to watch how our spending develops, this budget was developed out of our everyday real spending, okay? So what that means is this. What you see on here is very close to what we've actually spent over the last 6 months on this stuff, okay? So it's not like these numbers we came up with and thought they'd look cool to you, and actually the spending's really different. This is out of our spending, and so we know this is pretty much what it looks like, and this is the current budget in which our staff function and run with, okay? So if you look at the budget here, at the top, you'll see compensation. Compensation is all of the areas that we've got to spend to maintain the staff that we have here at the church. The compensation for all of our staff that I went through before translates into a monthly amount of $38,700, give or take, which in a year is $464,000 that we spend here in a year to keep all of those staff functioning here the way that they ought. We have benefits for the staff that translate into $36,000 a year. And then staff training translates into $24,000 a year. So for our 13 staff people that we currently have, as we train them and as we take them and send them to conferences and buy them books and do different things for all of those staff, we have about $24,000 set aside for the staff to be trained up and developed. So that is our compensation, and that is what we do to keep the staff on board. Operations, that's kind of running this place, okay? The operations are the building at about $4,000 a month. That is maintaining this building as it runs every single day. It's amazing, like I said, how many things have to happen around here to keep things going the way that they are. Then we have the utilities, which is about $2,000 a month. Storage, about $300 a month. Office supplies, about $400 a month. Marketing, about $3,000 a month. And maintenance, about $700 a month. That $3,000 for marketing translates primarily into one or two places. You guys know we have a billboard on 50, so we've got that. And then all of the little cards and things you guys receive and see, that's all kind of under the marketing category. So when I say marketing, it's not just getting out there. If we have an event and we're on Z88 for a week, that's marketing. That's the kind of stuff that we spend money there on. And then Sunday services for atmosphere runs about $800 a month, and for hospitality runs about $1,500 a month as we spend, and that includes obviously the coffee bar, the hospitality, the food, all that kind of stuff. Giving, which is our church giving into missions and organizations. We run for benevolence about $2,000 a month and for missions about $8,000 a month, which translates, as you can tell there, $96,000 a year and $24,000 a year. Benevolence is the kind of giving that we do locally. In other words, if somebody in our church is struggling or if somebody locally is struggling and we give, we would term that benevolence. If it's missions, it means we're giving it away to an organization or a missionary family, something like that, to help support them. Now, that's kind of our missions. Then our ministries. We have events, life groups, senior high, junior high, children's, and you can see the numbers there. $1,800 for all of our events throughout the year, monthly. Then we have life groups at about $150, and then about $600 for most of our major ministries, and then $300 for counseling, $200 for discipleship, $300 for community, and pastoral ministries, which involves all of the stuff that the different pastoral staff do here with all of you, that translates into $1,200 a month, and they are the numbers. Savings. We are working on trying to save about $7,000 a month. That translates into $84,000. These numbers we get from what is in Crown Ministries or any of those places would lay out for you how you ought to spend your money. You should be tithing 10%. That's giving away. That is nothing for you and nothing that relates to you. And we try to make sure our giving is at 10-plus percent. Right now it's at 11%. And savings, it tells you you ought to save money. We currently do not run with much of a savings account because we've been the kind of church that we spend what we have because we want to keep moving forward and doing ministry. But we're at a place where we want to make sure we're saving because we've got some big things coming up ahead that we want to be part of, including this church planting. And that's how we run our budget. The total is about $79,675 a month. And the tithe income, if we average out our year, averages out to about $87,000 a month is what we bring in. which means we run about $7,000 plus each month. Now, the reality is that that $87,000 I'm talking about, that is an average. Over the summer, that was way lower. Over the November, December, it tends to be a little higher, and it compensates for the summer. And, you know, you see those things go on. So we can't always count on that $7,000 extra, and we certainly can't always count on the $7,000 of savings. We're also in a world right now where things like benevolence, $2,000 for benevolence is a joke. Because, like, it's, you know, Stu will tell you, we've just had a benevolence conversation because Renault here doesn't think straight, and I have some decision-making power in that. And so anyone that comes to me and goes, I just need a new, I go, okay. And so this month we overdid benevolence in a huge way, and we're, you know, like the ticket for Mel flying out. Now, let me tell you, that'll keep happening around here. Don't think for one second I'm going to stop, because that's part of who we are. But it's always going to cost us, and we're always going to go, oh, man, that was like $9,000 this month, so we got to pull savings and this and that. And that's how we function. But this is the basic structure for the budget. Our staff are very committed to staying within that, and this is how it translates. Compensation runs about 55% of our budget. Operations run about 13%. Giving runs about 13%, savings runs about 9%, ministries run about 8%, and Sunday service runs about 3%. And that's how the translation translates out as we spend money. I'll tell you something, our giving at 13% right there, that is a number that I'm excited about. It's not going to stop there, it's going to go further. But I tell you, I've been a part of a lot of churches that are striving to get beyond 5% in the giving arena. And to get 10% is almost impossible. And the fact that we are at 13% of our money goes out and doesn't affect us at all is something that I am very excited about. Now, two other things about the budget you ought to be aware of before we close out on the budget stuff, and then I'll open for Q&A, okay? Number one, you will notice on this thing that there is no mortgage payment. Not a single dime goes toward mortgage running. You know why that is? Because the chairs you're sitting in and the building you're sitting in, the land you just parked your car in, that was given to us. An outside donor came in. This was over $2 million that we had to put in to get this place. And at the time, they put $1 million in, and then they put another $500,000 in, and then eventually we kind of had another $500,000 to pay off, and then they kind of felt bad for us, so they put another $500,000 in, and one day it was just done and paid off. That is a single donor that does that. They do not live in Florida. They do not live in this state. They do not attend this church. They just believe in our vision here, and they paid this building off for us. So you and I get to do ministry around here the way we do, because we don't have to worry about a $7,000 or a $10,000 mortgage payment every month that sucks us dry. And that is an amazing gift that churches don't get. Now, not quite done yet. In the same light, if you'll notice, our number was $87,000 that we bring in as a church, right, for tithe. That isn't entirely accurate, okay? Because $36,000 of that every month is from that same outside donor. Every single month, we get $36,000 wired into our account from out of state because somebody believes in what we're doing here. So we get to, for instance, if you look at our staff compensation or you look at our giving or you look at our, that is because we have the rare and unique privilege of having somebody that's capable of that kind of giving to put into this church that kind of number every single month. That is millions of dollars over the last 5 years that have been given here that you and I don't have to worry about. Now, I say that to say this. I am, as a pastor, and I've said this before, highly convicted about the fact that God does not give a church these kinds of privileges and then expect them to sit around and do nothing about it. And so we as a church, having been given that much over 5 years, ought to be a place that starts thinking about how we're going to give back to that process. And the only way that's going to happen is if all of us start going, man, God is calling us into this. Now, I'm proud of this church and the way the giving has developed over the last year and a half. It's been exciting to watch. But the reality is that that donor, I have got to go to that donor soon and say, thank you for the millions of dollars you've invested, but you cannot be putting $36,000 in here every month for us to run operations. We need to catch up on that. So we, that's you and I, need to start thinking about how we're going to take our current budget and add to it $36,000 a month. Now you might go, whoa, who can do that? I started crunching some numbers. We run about 600 to 700 people on a Sunday here at this church. That's actual attendees on a Sunday, adults. And I took the number 500 and I said, you know, if each one of us here committed to the fact that we are going to step in and we're going to say, I'm going to find $10 a week or $20 a week and I'm going to set it aside and I'm going to bring it to church, guess what happens? Suddenly we're at $20, $25, $30,000 a month that comes in like that. It's what I said about Melissa. $7,000 is overwhelming until there's 500 of you, and then suddenly it's not overwhelming at all. And what you guys need to understand about this church is because we don't have a mortgage payment and because we have that money coming in, we get to do all the stuff we talk about. But I really want you guys to be prayerfully saying, how can I be a part of making all of this happen by extending myself just a little further in my time, in my energy, in my giving, and in the things that I do as part of this church? Because God wants to do big things through us in church planting. And that ain't going to happen unless we all step up. See, I don't only have to catch up $36,000, but I got to catch up like $100,000 because we want to plant churches, we want to build buildings, we want to do stuff that's going to increase the kingdom of God, and we want to do it in such a way that it doesn't take away from our giving, and it doesn't take away from our benevolence, and it doesn't take away from our ministries, because we won't build buildings if it takes away from any of that. And so we go. On that note, Oakland gave us a letter 3 weeks ago, that stated that we have officially got permission to dig a well and build a building on our property here, which is very exciting, yes. The great thing about that is, from our perspective, is as you noticed, there was nothing in there saying, building fund! That's because I hate building funds and they tick me off because suddenly all the focus turns from ministry to building and I never want to be that kind of church here. But the reality is also that as God provides for us, we need to be working on expanding ministry here so we can all do what we need to do. So keep in mind as we look at that budget, I wanted to show you that so that you know that we spend our money that way. That we're very careful with every dime around here. There is not a single staff person on this staff that gets anywhere close to six figures. We do that so we can keep everything running at a high level around here. Our staff are staff that certainly have it good here, but at the same time, they're staff that understand that we've got ministry to do, and they, you know, we pay them appropriately. So we do all those things so that you guys know this is how it plays out. But it is so that you guys can get involved. And that's my last ticket here. How can you get involved? Well, come. Come to things. Why? Because when you come, you're a part of the community. You are part of what makes us Mosaic Church. And if you're not here, guess what? Then all those people that come in here don't meet you, and then we're not Mosaic Church. So the first way you get involved is just to come. Participate in a life group. Get involved. You need to tithe and give. If you're not a giver yet, figure out how to do that because it's something God calls us to. You need to volunteer to help when we need help. You need to see needs, help to address those needs. Don't just talk about them. Stay informed about our activities. Take a step out of your comfort zone every now and then and say, what do you need me for? And jump in. These are some of the ways you can get involved in Mosaic Church. And if you do these things, well, guess what? Then we'll get to do the things we've been talking about. So that's kind of how things laid out. It's 10 after 7, and I told the children's ministry staff we won't go over by much today. So here's what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes for big Q&A, and then I will hang out here happily, and our elders will come and hang out here, and you guys can come and ask us any questions that you want about any of this stuff. And if there are some bigger questions, we can always address this stuff again in the next few weeks if we need to do that, okay? So that was a lot of information to cover in a very short period of time. But questions? John? Good question. The way the budget basically functions is this. We are going to try to run a budget on an annual basis. So that means the budget gets put together in the late part of the year, gets approved before January, and then we run on a budget from January to December. Obviously, if during that year there are major changes, then we get together as an elder board and update the budget. For instance, if, as an example, my donor called and said, something happened, we can't give $36,000 anymore, then I would have to call an elder meeting and adjust the budget. But for the most part, the budget runs on an annual basis and then gets reconfigured after that. Lana. Yes.
Because I think that I hear a message and I want to share it with some people that aren't here.
That is a great question. That's something not only to talk to Jeffy about, but also considering this, that as we are trying to make sure we spend our money as effectively as possible here, some of the things we've decided to do is find things like podcasts that's free and not put CDs out on a table. Some of those things need to change as we want to make sure that we get you guys the ability to disperse God's word into the hands of others, so we're going to. But it's constantly a battle. So the more you guys step into this church and are part of things, the more we can pull those kinds of things off. But talk to Jeffy and he'll help you think about some even more more ways to do that. Yes? Great question on both those parts. Elders, would you stand up for a second, please? These are all of the elders in our church. That's Terry Jeter over there. That's Raphael. This is Stu. This is Gavin. Bill Moline, who is our other elder, is in children's ministry right now because our elders help out in children's ministry when they need it. And so these are our elders, and I'm also on that elder board. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 elders. And these guys, I want you guys to know this and hear it from me, the wisest men I have ever had the privilege to work with in my life. We've selected them carefully over years, and they are great guys, okay? And then we are in the process right now with our deacons, developing deacons. So we currently have 4 deacons that the elders have worked through long paperwork and discussion, and we've selected those. And then there's about 3 other guys that I'm working with right now that I need to still go through the final process with. I think all the deacons are here that have already been selected. Let's see. John Palmer, are you here? Oh, John, stand up for a second. Where is Mike Saeda? Are you here, Mike? Thank you. Jeff McKinney, I don't think is here. Is Jeff here? And then Mike Ben. Is Mike Ben here? Okay. Well, Mike Ben and Jeff McKinney are not here. These 2 guys, they hardly even know what they're supposed to do yet. They were looking at that going, oh, I'm handling finances. That's good. Because our deacon board just got started and we haven't even had our first meeting where I kind of express everything to them. But these guys have gone through an intensive process to become deacons. Now, so these 2 guys and those 2 guys are already deacons, and then the other 3 I'll introduce to you guys as we get through the process with them if they all become deacons. Now, to answer your question about the woman question, none of our elders are women. None of our elders will ever be women because we are convinced of the fact that spiritual leadership in the church, for whatever reason God determined outside of us, is something that God maintained that a man needed to fulfill. So we, the pastor, lead pastor, that's me, and the elders are always going to be men in this church. And that's a decision that we make to make sure that we maintain what we see as biblical process. No, not necessarily at all. We do not have a number that we're stuck on. Those are the 6 guys that over years have qualified. If somebody else becomes a parent, we will begin a long process with them to see if they jump in as well. But that's who we have right now, and it's functioning well, and the rest we kind of play by ear. At any point, if one of the elders feels like there's someone we should consider, they'll mention it. But right now, we're functioning with those 6. No, so no, we're not stuck on 6 at all. Now, in the area of deacons, to answer your question right now all of our deacons are men, and they will probably be men right now because we are still in a process here of working through the area of deacons and determining whether we can step out of that arena because of the spiritual leadership issue. That is a discussion that I am in the process of working out. We are always open to finding ways that women can be intricately involved in huge ministry around here, and we want our women to be really involved. We just want to make sure that there's that one line of spiritual leadership over adults that we don't cross because it's a biblical line, and so we stick with that. Outside of that, you will see, for instance, we've talked about our woman on staff here. They'll be considered pastoral staff members under my leadership, and they can do that. I mean, there's a lot of ways women can be involved in ministry here across the board, just not in that one area of spiritual leadership, which is really right now the elders and me. The deacons are something, since we don't have the answer on completely, I always tend to stick to the safe area with God and not step into something I'm not sure of, so we stick there for right now. But we are open to exploring further the area of deacons in terms of women. So, hope that answers the question. Anybody else? Yes, John.
With regard to missions, is there like a set director or committee? And if so, how far into the future do we plan as a church?
Great question. Great question. I'll answer that question for you this way. We've talked about putting together a committee, but Mosaic Church loves the idea of red tape, not. So one of the things that we try to do is this. We try to create avenues where accountability is high and red tape is low. And it's a difficult balance to find. So what we do right now is we have a missions plan that we're developing, and the guys involved in that are Stu over there, myself. We have Bob Cornick, who's helping us with that. We have some other experts that we're talking about in the area of missions, master's mission. Some of the guys there are helping us think through it. And then we've got a couple of people in the church that throw in and chime in as we go. Then people in our church, like Guy and Robin Bruchard are somewhere here, they brought to me Jamaica. Oh, here's a guy right here. And brought to me a need there. So we started looking at Jamaica. It became apparent that we could change Jamaica, so now we're going to plant a church there eventually. Things like that happen all the time. For now, it's a quick decision-making process. The way we work it is we try to stay at least a year ahead. Right now, we know in 2009 already much of what we're going to do. We are actually already talking 2010 and 2011 from a church planting perspective, because you got to be that far ahead to make it effective. So we know for the next 3 years what our church planting looks like. We know what our missions trips look like for the next year. And that's kind of how we plan. And then we want to try to let you guys know about all of this months in advance so we can get ahead of the game. So hope that answers the question. Anybody else? You got 2 more minutes. Do. Yeah.
You said that with the children and the teens, that everyone that works with them, their background checks, and what else? Is there anything else that
Well, well, what we do here is this. There's a lot of things that happen. First of all, the upfront stuff is they fill out a little application. Then we do the full background check, the FBI deal, everything to make sure that they're completely clear. And then once that's been done, obviously, the ministry head of each department, that person isn't just a random person. They've been selected because they have, in process of signing up and wanting to volunteer, they've been interviewed, talked to, hung out with, that kind of stuff. And then, after the background check is done, once we've plugged them into ministry, we have all sorts of rules in our ministries that avoid a situation where something could happen. So how many workers should be in a room, which workers take kids to bathrooms, how all that works, there are rules and regulations for all of that. The sign-in, sign-out processes in student ministries, the same thing. A staff person, for instance, a male staff person cannot drive a female student home. That cannot happen. Vice versa, those kinds of things. And even a leader with a student alone, we avoid things like that. So we have rules in place then that protect us even further. Obviously, there's only so far you can go before it gets crazy, but we have all of that in place to make sure that your students are as safe as humanly possible here. Yes, Lana.
What's the future for the School of the Arts?
Great question. School of Arts. You guys remember School of Arts? Well, we ran School of Arts last year. It was a fantastic thing. We loved it. We ran it all semester long. We took our School of Arts volunteers and we burned them at 4 sides of the candle, try to see if we could burn them out in 1 semester. Almost worked really well. And then we also, just the overwhelming task that it was for Marlena and some of the others that helped out in there was huge. So Marlena and I talked about it and we thought about some things. And what we thought about doing is to try something different in 2009 is we're going to run School of Arts over the summer for a shorter period of time, but we're going to run it like a day camp where they come in for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and they run that. We're going to try that this summer and see how that runs. We would like to have School of Arts in this place eventually develop back into this year-long thing that happens, but that is a task that is such a big task that we want to do it quietly, carefully, and right, because 10 years from now, we want to be able to say, we are training people up in the arts constantly here. So it's an area that we are working on. It's not dead. It's not forgotten. It's not gone by any means. We are just rethinking it for now based on the resources and manpower that we have to make it as easy as possible to make it effective. So we'll try it this summer, and then we're going to reevaluate and say, did that work? Didn't it work? What's going to happen? We'll run it again. So School of Arts is a part of what we do because we love it, and we love the idea of training children, but that's kind of where we're at with School of Arts. Yes. Absolutely. Jeffy, can you throw that online for a second? You guys can go to this website right over here. And there'll be a link to this site off of our site for sure. But this is our new Mosaic Mission site. Jeffy, what's the address for this? Okay. You see up there, blog.mosaicfl.org. You type that in, and here Amanda writes all of the blogs at least once a week on what's going up in Master's Mission. Then on the side there, You'll see all of their information, see pictures, et cetera, et cetera. Is there a place on here where the address is on here, Jeffy? Okay, well, we'll put that up. So then you'll be able to send them care packages and all that kind of stuff. Look, there they are. How cute. Everyone on MoCom will have gotten their address, right? If you're on MoCom, your administrator, check your inbox. The administrator sent out their address for you as well if you're on MoCom. And then on MoCom, there'll be a link, and then there'll also be a link. And then we also have a Mosaic Missions website that we're developing that'll also have a link that talks about all of our church planting that we'll share with you guys real soon. Okay, on Jeff's, I guess he's putting up there right now. Missions. MosaicFL.org. You can see here's all of our mission stuff, how that's all going to develop, active duty missionaries, all that stuff is going to be on here. So we're at work getting stuff done. One more question and then I'm going to close shop. Yes. Great question. That is a great question. So you're talking about something happens this afternoon, and you want, yeah. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. That's a great question. Now, officially speaking, we don't have something in place yet, like a prayer chain, if you will, except for the fact that I know the prayer team and people in this church often will text me or shoot me or one of the staff. And if you get a hold of a staff person, it dissipates like that and goes out to everybody. But I will say this. Those people that are on MoCom fairly regularly, you guys know MoCom, which is our community page, is a huge part of that. If you can post something on MoCom, it gets out pretty quickly. But that is an area, I think I mentioned earlier tonight, we're still developing the area of prayer here. That is an area we'd like to see on our website and a text place that you can text that goes out. We want to develop a technology because it's available now where you could know a text number, 611, and it'll go to all the staff texts and boom, it'll go out. If you have a staff's phone number, text them. And that's the fastest way to get it out right now. So, but we'll work on that. That's a great question. Okay, I think we're going to close shop. Yeah, what?
Can you plan on having a Jeffy workshop with PowerPoint like this one day?
With PowerPoint?
We could
do that. Jeffy, you up for a little workshop to teach the church how to handle MoCom? I love it. Okay, those of you that want a workshop with Jeffy, talk to him. He'll set it up. That'll be great. Okay. Look at all that neat stuff. Welcome to Jeffy's world. Okay. Guys, thank you for being here. Listen, here's the deal. If you have any more questions tonight, all right, I'll be available up front here. Our elders will come up front and they'll be available. You can come and talk to us. And then we're also available after that. What? Well, no, we're not going to run announcements. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll run announcements, but here's the deal on one condition. If you've already seen these announcements, please get up. Go get your kids, because I don't want the kids workers to die out there. If you haven't seen the announcements, then take a look at these, and afterwards come and ask us some questions. Thanks for coming, guys. We'll